Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, this is a special day today. I am so happy to welcome our friends from the Twin Cities Buddhist Association who are joining us today for a joint service. And our friendship with this Sangha goes back about 4 years from when Duncan Williams was here to talk about his book, American Sutra. We sponsored that jointly along with some other organizations. And then since then, we had a joint service that night. And since then, we've had three more. So it's always wonderful to see our friends. And so this morning, we're going to have some chanting. And if you're here in the Zendo, hopefully you have a copy of some chants and you can chant along with us. So first, we'll have Steve Streed will be leading us in the Heart Sutra and the Bodhisattva vows. And then Chiemi Onakura Bly will be leading us in the Jusegi and the Three Treasures. Then we'll have a short Dharma talk from Gail Wong and a short Dharma talk from Ben Connolly. So, Steve, anytime you're ready to begin, we'll start.
Heart of Great Perfect Wisdom Sutra.
These are numberless vows.
Shem. Dharma gates are boundless, vowing to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable, vowing to become it.
Our tradition, Shin Buddhist tradition, at the beginning of the sutra chanting. So the first of all, we put the hands together. And then we say, Namo Amida Butsu, which means I rely on Amida Buddha. Namo Amida Butsu. Repeat after me.
Namo Amida Butsu.
And then bow. And then at the beginning of the chanting, so we have a sutra on this paper, which is Shakyamuni Buddha's teaching the word. So we show the respect for the sutra, and then commit the legs a little bit, and then start chanting. So the Jusei Gate here in this page, so the first line in the italic, that is only for the leader, which is me. So from the second line, so we chant together. And then you will see another italic line, italic the fonts, Namandabu. The first one is just me, the leader. And then the second, after that, we all chant together. And then Gani Shikudoku, which is also italic, which is only me. And then after that, we all chant together. So, and then from the Gandhi Shikudoku line, we have some little bit melody. So our Sangha members are going to lead it. So just follow them as much. Okay. So this sutra chanting Jusei Gate is it's called the verse, the recording about appears on the first volume of the sutra on the Buddha of Immeasurable Life. And the Bodhisattva Dharmakara, who became Amida Buddha in the beginning of the past, episode 94 and his author, 48 vows, which now save all beings, and promised to fulfill them all without fail. So this gatha is so named because Amida Buddha breathed in his vows, and then that should all beings wallowing in a sea of delusions not be saved, and not should not there be any place that the name Namo Amida Butsu is not heard. It's not heard. He will not attain Buddhahood. Namo Amida Butsu.
Namo Amida Butsu.
Now I am able to hear it. If I do not transcend the world of the delusion in this life, when will I ever attain spiritual liberation? May I long with the entire Sangha, with sincere heart and mind, rely on that which can be truly relied on in life, the three treasures. I rely on the Buddha.
May I discover the highest aspiration, which is to become a Buddha. I rely on the Dharma. May I, along with all sentient beings, deeply reflect on the meaning of the sutras and gain wisdom that is as deep and vast as the ocean. I rely on the Sangha. May I, along with all sentient beings, become one Sangha of life, able to move forward and live with the dynamic spirit that is hindered by nothing.
The unsurfaced, deep, and wondrous Dharma, even in millions of the kalpas, is extremely difficult to encounter. But now I am able to experience and embrace it. May I come to understand and revere the true meaning of the Tathagata. Put the hands together.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you for allowing me to speak to you today. My name is Gail Wong. And I was born into the Shin, or True Pure Land, Jodo Shinshu tradition. My family was one of the earliest members of the Twin Cities Buddhist Sangha that began way before I was born in the mid-1940s. And Buddhism has always been part of me, but it's always been difficult for me to try to explain to others what Shin Buddhism is. But I thought if I share a little bit of our history with you today, it'll help you understand a little bit more about the Shin path. So Shinran Shonin is considered the founder of Jodo Shinshu Buddhism, or Shin Buddhism, as known in the West. And this year marked the 850th anniversary of his birth. And I was fortunate enough to be able to attend the special ceremonies and celebrations held at our mother temple, the Nishihonganji in Kyoto, in early May. And these celebrations honoring Shinran's birth and his passing are held every 50 years. So it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for me to attend these observations in person. And it was also a combined celebration of the 800th anniversary of the establishment of the Shin tradition. The year 1224 was designated as the year when Shinran first wrote the Kyogyo Shinsho, the true teaching, practice, and realization of the Pure Land Way, at the age of 52 years old. And this is considered the most foundational sacred writings of the Shin path. And in this treatise, Shinran clarified and systematized the teachings, commenting on the writings of the seven great patriarchs of Pure Land teaching, thus providing guidance to generations of followers who continue to make the Shin sect the largest Buddhist tradition in Japan. So these special ceremonies were held throughout the past spring with multiple services a day, and people from across Japan and all around the world came to honor our founder and the Shin tradition. It was a beautiful ceremony, and the beautiful altar and magnificent flower arrangements and special offerings. It was very moving to be there with 1,200 people from throughout the world chanting in unison the Shoshinge, the gatha created by Shinran, which contains elements of the Kyogyo Shinsho. And hearing the sound of 1,200 voices chanting with whole hearts the sacred teachings that were written 800 years ago, and hearing the unified sound of Namo Amida that was resonating through the temple halls was truly awe-inspiring. Shinran's emphasis on the absolute reliance on Amida Buddha's compassion revolutionized understanding of Buddhism in Japan and made the Buddhist path accessible to everyone, from the aristocratic to the merchants, to the farmers and peasants, and even the discriminated alike. He spent his life sharing his teachings, and it remains with us today. Shinran was born in 1173, and he entered the Tendai Buddhist priesthood at age 9. He immersed himself for many years to strict monastic Buddhist practices on Mount Hiei, the center of Tendai Buddhism in Japan. However, despite 20 years of training as a monk, he felt unfulfilled. And so at the age of 29, frustrated, disillusioned with his inability to find a path to enlightenment, he descended the mountain to seek Honen Shonin, who was teaching a new path of Pure Land practice in which lay people and the ordained were seen as equals on the spiritual path. This practice could be pursued by anyone, whether as an ordinary member of society, married with family, or a celibate renunciant. All that the path required was Nembutsu practice, or chanting the name of Amida Buddha, Namo Amida Butsu. Through this practice, Honen taught one would be fully embraced in the boundless compassion of Amida Buddha. So Shinran became a disciple of Honen and remained with him for 6 years. When in 1207 he faced persecution and exile due to political conflicts within the Buddhist establishment that was oppressing the Nembutsu teaching. He was stripped of his priesthood and exiled to the cold north shore of the Sea of Japan, where he lived and worked among peasants. And he never lived in a temple again, but he delved deeper into his spiritual practice. About this time, he married and had a large family. And humbly, he renamed himself Gutoku, foolish, bald-headed one, coming to understand himself as neither monk or layman. He was pardoned after 5 years, but decided not to return to Kyoto, since Honen, who had also been exiled, had passed away. And so he spent the next 20 years in the modern-day Tokyo area, spreading the Nembutsu teaching and building a large movement among the peasants and lower samurai. He returned to Kyoto, devoting his final 3 decades to writing, and never lost sight of his purpose of sharing the message of Amida Buddha's boundless compassion. He passed away at the age of 90. So Shinran emphasized the universal accessibility of the other power of Amida Buddha, which appealed to people from all walks of life. He believed that everyone, regardless of their social status or past actions, could attain enlightenment through Amida Buddha's unconditional love and compassion. Shinran made us aware that we are all imperfect beings, or bombu, foolish beings, subject to blind passions. Yet we are all embraced in the boundless compassion of Amida Buddha's primal vow, the ultimate truth and oneness. Amida is the compassionate Buddha of immeasurable light and life, whose workings manifest oneness, the ultimate reality. Oneness that has no color or form, no words to describe it fully or accurately. Amida's primal vow symbolizes the work of universal compassion. Amida Buddha is the activity that connects all life together, this creative force that manifests inside, this ultimate reality beyond description, imagination, and conception, infinite and immeasurable. Amida Buddha, embodied by coming to life through thought, action, and speech. This personified image of Amida Buddha is helpful for us to understand what it represents, immeasurable wisdom and compassion. Oneness is the ultimate reality beyond what our human words and images can grasp. And so Amida Buddha is what we can appreciate through words and images. And when we can understand that oneness, our hearts and minds are totally embraced within the infinite wisdom of the Buddha. And what unfolds from that is compassion. Shinran emphasized Shinjin, the experience of awakening in the here and now. Hearing the Buddha's voice in the Buddha's name, Namo Amida Butsu. But it takes more than simply listening to the Dharma and believing in it. Rather, Shinjin is a person's direct encounter with the Buddha's wisdom that unfolds to us as compassion, and which brings about awakening of trust and realization. Shinjin is a transformation of becoming truly human, seeing ourselves for who we really are by listening to the Dharma with our whole being. And when we transform the ignorance or delusion of our unawakened life, that moment of realization of Shinjin, when we appreciate what we have received, we express our gratitude by bowing our heads with humility. We hear Amida's name and respond spontaneously through Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu is an expression of deepest humility, naturally following from the awareness of oneself as a foolish being filled with blind passions. Through this path, through enlightenment and unfolding as compassion, little by little, we can change. Our hearts and our minds change. So Shinran lived a difficult life, but he transformed those difficulties to live a life filled with gratitude, with great joy through Nembutsu practice. And with my limited capacity to understand, I am trying little by little bit by bit, day by day, to deeply hear the teachings. And little by little, I find I'm taken in by the embrace of Amida's wisdom, which slowly unfolds as compassion. And while I'm far from perfect, still Bumbu, little by little, the ice melts, and the light bulb turns on when I realize that if I can look at life differently, if I can transform bits of rubble into gold, change my perspective from dread and doom and anger and frustration, I can realize that all my complaints and stresses are nothing. Like my complaints this past week about all the work and stress and planning and frustration over the upcoming holidays, but realizing how lucky I am to have family to celebrate and be with. And then it dawning on me how difficult the holidays will be for a good friend who just lost her husband. And realizing that some of my family will not be able to join us due to illness or inability to travel. And realizing I should be grateful for these moments and for what I have. And realizing with all that's going on in the world, how difficult life is for so many people dealing with war and loss and sadness. I have nothing, absolutely nothing to complain about. I realize that I would not exist without my parents and my grandparents and great-grandparents and all my ancestors before me. Being in Japan this past spring, I connected with my roots and have such tremendous gratitude for my grandparents for all they sacrificed to make their way to America, to find a new life, despite the difficult times they faced, and gratitude to them for bringing with them their strong, devoted faith in Amida Buddha. And due to all those circumstances, all those causes and conditions have brought us all together here in this place, making connections with our two sanghas so that we can share the Dharma and walk the path together. So may we all draw inspiration from Shinran's life and teachings, and may his message of hope and compassion continue to guide us along our spiritual journeys. Namo Amida Buddha. Namo Amida Buddha. Namo Amida Buddha. Namo Amida
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Ben Connolly. I'm the assistant guiding teacher here at Minnesota Zen Meditation Center. I'm so grateful to be here today with old friends from the Twin Cities Buddhist Association. You know, as I understand it, you know, gratitude, the cultivation, the experience of gratitude is really fundamental to the Jodo Shinshu tradition, and I take it in from Jodo Shinshu people like incense and let it waft into my body and transform who I am. And I'm really grateful for all that I've learned, you know. And, you know, when I started learning about the importance of gratitude in Jodo Shinshu, I started looking for gratitude in the Soto Zen tradition. And one of my favorite places is in the instructions to the cook. Dogen Zenji says we should cultivate joyful mind. And he says, this is why you should be joyful, because you're grateful that you can serve no matter what. Why should there be a joyful mind? Because you're grateful that you can serve no matter what. Even if you're like going out in the yard to feed all the monks by gathering greens from the forest, you can't even get enough rice to be able to feel the joy that I right now can do something to serve. And, you know, if you think this idea that we should just take in the other power, compassion of Amida Buddha, that seems a little, you're like, well, that sounds foreign to Soto Zen. I would just like to quote the opening passages of Dogen Zenji's two most famous and influential text, his instruction for Zazen, which says, the way is originally perfect and all-pervading. That sounds kind of like universal compassion that's everywhere. And in the Genjo Koan, he begins by saying, as all dharmas are Buddha Dharma, there is delusion, there is realization, there is practice, birth and death, sentient beings and Buddhas. So the only reasonable ground on which to claim that anything exists is that everything is Buddha. And then, you know, the instruction then is to sit Zazen because we're Buddha. Not to get to be a Buddha, or because it will make you a better person, or because there's something wrong with you, or to fix something, or to control something, or to gain something, or to accomplish something, or attain something. No, just sit Zazen because you're Buddha. Just cook for your family because you're Buddha. Just listen to your friends with your whole heart because you're Buddha. But you're not Buddha because you're Buddha. You're Buddha because everything's Buddha. And you can't be separate from everything. That doesn't make sense. That's just math. So, you know, I'm so grateful. I remember the first time I met someone from TCBA when Todd Tsuchiya, one of the former ministers who's now in Chicago, came over here and attended an intro class during Blank Friday, our open house the day after Thanksgiving. And then we talked and we got together. And I was really grateful for experiencing my incredible ignorance. That was great. I was like, I didn't even know that there had been this thriving Buddhist community for 30 years from a Japanese tradition here right in the Twin Cities, 30 years before MZMC was formed, that many of the people in that community had been here and were deeply connected to the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II. Just the breadth and wisdom of the Jodo Shinshu tradition, I just learned so much just sitting down with Todd, and it's quite a joy to realize how ignorant you are. I really think so. Because if you know how ignorant you are, then there's room for everything else to happen. Really. So, and these relationships have thrived. So some of the people here from TCBA and from MZMC, we co-created a couple of different visuals in support of migrants and people who are being subjected to the separation of children from their parents by U.S. immigration policy. So we made some really beautiful vigils together. And that work was informed by some of the people from the Japanese American community whose lives have been directly impacted by racist immigration policy when they were interned, along with hundreds of thousands of other Japanese people during World War II. And it was, you know, I was so grateful to be able to hear the truth of people's experience and to show up for people. And Jamie and I were on the steering committee to form the Minnesota Intersangha Ethics and Leadership Summit, which happened in here, where we brought together about 25 or 30 leaders from 11 different Buddhist communities to talk about how to create safe, healthy Buddhist communities where there is we create the conditions to prevent clergy abuse. That was a two-day conference that was just wonderful. And Jamie and I have also been involved in the Minnesota Multi-Faith Network for years. That's fun. Right? You know, you just go hang out with people. I mean, when else do I get invited to just dive in? It's like, you know, I'm in a mosque and someone says, oh, you want to come pray? And I go, well, sure. What are we doing now? And what I do with my body is so similar to what we do with our bodies here during morning service. So beautiful. Or to be invited into Havdalah at the end of Shabbat. And to be invited to see the reflection of, I think it's candles, off your fingernails. A ritual that Jewish people have been doing for thousands of years. Radical interest in this moment's experience. I'm so grateful for these opportunities to connect. And I know, because I looked at the picture, that at least Gail and Jamie and Todd and a few other people from MZMC were at what was probably the largest gathering of Buddhist leaders ever in the state of Minnesota, when we gathered to walk behind a group of African-American clergy from Sabathany Community Center to what has come to be known as George Floyd Square a few days after the murder of George Floyd. And to just stand and listen and bear witness and say, no more. Not one more. And then to just get to chant and be like, I have no idea what I'm chanting. I don't even know how to pronounce it right, let alone what it means. But just hear the voices of the people in this room. What a beautiful, strange, and precious opportunity. So grateful. You know, how can I say that I am grateful that I've stood outside the Whipple Federal Building with people in this room and many other Buddhists at a vigil, chanting and hearing the sound of people who are facing deportation pounding on the side of a van to let us know they knew we were there for them, because there were no windows in that van, but we could hear them. Just they knew we were going to be there, and they wanted to let us know, we know you're here for us. How can I say I'm grateful for that? Because I'm not in control of the world. I mean, bumboo, I've got it going on. I'm as ignorant as the rest. Yes, it's a mess. Yes, there's suffering. That's the first noble truth. And yet, there's practice. And that practice is in community. And that we could show up for those folks and hear them saying, we know you're here. That was precious. I'm so grateful. I wouldn't have done that work alone. It wouldn't have been meaningful if I'd done it alone. And yet, to reach across what appear to be divisions and differences and show up for people, I'm really grateful that that can happen. And I know people say Zen is other power and Jodo Shinshu is, no, Zen is self-power. I'm always talking about empowerment and, you know, Jodo Shinshu is about other power. But here's the thing. If you have the capacity to do something beneficial right now, where did it come from? Did you make it? Can anyone make it? Can it be anything but an utter miracle that right now you can offer something, which is just your heart, that I can offer something? My heart. What a mystery. Self and other, they're just ideas. So, I'm also grateful because I saw that Jamie brought some really delicious looking treats. Not the first time. Just to be with old friends, to come together, to be able to share some tea, to share our practices, to share our differences, to share our commonalities. To see the fall fleeting in the colors. So grateful. Thank you very much.
Okay, we have a few minutes. I wonder, Ben, if maybe you could stay there and field questions or comments?
Yeah.
Direct them to the
folks? So we can, I will direct track.
Thank you.
Yes, go ahead.
Good morning. I see we have additional items on the altar, and I'm wondering if we could talk a little bit about the traditions of altars and Shin and Soto Zen.
I'm going to move so folks can see this, and I wonder if some of you would like to talk about this altar piece.
Okay, yeah. First, okay. So the today we brought the altar, the Chinese characters, kanji characters, it said Namo Amida Butsu, which is just recited during the service. So which is a word, and Gail explained that through the our traditions, the reciting the Namo Amida Butsu is a part of the daily life. So, and then why we put the other the characters instead of the Buddha figure or so. So you often see if you go to the temple, even though the Japan or so, there is a big Buddha statue or small Buddha statues, or so many kinds of varieties. But oftentimes the Jodo Shinshu tradition, just and Gail introduced to explain to us today, the Jodo Shinshu is for the everybody, everyone, even though if they don't have a money to buy the statues or to find the statues, any occasions, if we have the name, which is something, you know, that many people can write on the paper, which we can do. So they start using the writing the Namo Amida Butsu instead of the Buddha figure. And then we can gathering together, even though at home we have the scroll Namo Amida Butsu, just a big piece of paper. And then we can do the other service. We can be a mindful out of that gratitude for the Amida Buddha. So which is a part of the our tradition, having the Buddha statue instead of the Buddha statue, having the just the name of the characters of the Namo Amida Butsu. So and also we usually have the candles and then flowers and offering to the Amida Buddha, and then also incense for the fragrance of the clear purifying the our world. So, is that answering your questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Other questions? Or reflections?
I think another reason that oftentimes we use the Nembutsu on the altar. If you notice, the Nembutsu is sitting on a lotus petal, just like a Buddha. It's thought that Amida placed all of his virtues into the name, but the entire 48 vows are inherent in the name. So when we say Namo Amida Butsu, it is the Buddha itself. It's the union between the Buddha and our foolishness. So.
Thank you. I have a reflection, Ben.
Sure.
I'm a psychotherapist, and this past week I learned from one of my clients probably something that I have heard before. But it was a reminder, and there was a statement that she said that comparison is the thief of joy. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't find that more truthful, and I started using that right now when I start listening to our guest today. And then listening to you, Ben, that the power for us comes from within, and that the other practices is a source taken from the outside. So right away the comparison started me, like, who's better, who's, what am I missing here? No, that comparison is the thing I'm enjoying so much. I was initiated about a month ago, by the way, here in the Zen Soto, and I'm very proud of that. So it was perfect what I learned this week, and now enjoying this experience that it has been delightful and really beautiful. That's my reflection, Ben. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other folks, people online? I think we can hear you. Okay, I've got a question. What is the sound of one hand? No, just So when you gather, I think monthly, usually? Once a month?
Something. Anyway, when you get together, like what is the sequence of things that you do? What do you do? What's your gathering like? Anyone can answer.
Similar service like this, we have just a moment of quiet meditation, not as long meditation as we did. And I sat through today and I did it. But we just have a quiet time for about 3 minutes as just a means to help put us in the right mindset to be able to listen to the Dharma. And then we have chanting, we do sutta chanting, and then a Dharma message, and then some reading. So a very simple service. Not unlike anything.
And we keep sutra chanting in Japanese way, so which is the Chinese characters, and then even Japanese speaking people like me, we can't understand what the meaning of it is. But take a moment, not during the chanting, so take a moment, through the studying, the line by line, which is the almost like a, we can say the textbook to learn how to learn the Buddhism, so line by line. So, but the pronunciation is a little bit different from the native Japanese language or so. So, but we keep doing in Japanese way, which is, I think to me, feels like similar to the meditation, the Zen meditation. Even though the word, what does it mean, anything, but we can't think about it. It's just like, focusing on pronouncing and then feeling the sound of the everybody is chanting together, which is very much mindful moment, and then we can focus on it. And so that's why, we keep the chanting sutras in that Japanese traditional way. If you are interested, and just wanted to explain that.
Thanks.
Does someone do the Nichiren practitioners? Now I see that in the chant, there's Namandabu five times. Is the Nichiren practitioners chant Nimbutsu or Namandabu 100 times a day, or do they have beads?
Okay, so the Namo Amida Butsu, the Nimbutsu, yes, it is the name of, Nimbutsu is the name of the Namo Amida Butsu.
And Nimbutsu means, Nen is mindful, and then Butsu is Buddha. And then this is not only for Jodo Shinshu. It is also the Tendai traditions, which is the Kamakura period. Most of the Buddhist sect in Japan, so they all do chanting Nembutsu Namo Amida Butsu is a part of the practice. So some I believe Nichiren way they chant Namyo Horen Gekyo many, many times. And then Jodo-shu, they do a Namo Amida Butsu 100 times or so. But Jodo Shinshu is a little bit easier. You don't have to do that 100 times. 5 times is enough.
Yeah, and this is something I learned at the first meeting with Todd. So I'm pretty ignorant about Japanese Buddhist sect. So Nichiren is a Lotus Sutra tradition that is more associated with Tendai, and then Jodo Shinshu is a Pure Land tradition. Zen, of course, is a Zen tradition. And so we have a lot of Nichiren practitioners in the U.S. with the Soto Sokai Gakkai, mm-hmm. which we partnered with on a couple of different things that we've done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I have a question to Gail. I'm Japanese and I'm practicing Soto Shu, but I'm really grateful that all kinds of Buddhists, Japanese Buddhists, American, kept practicing during the internment. And I think you have a personal story. I don't know if you could share a story that would, you know, how your grandparents and parents kept mm-hmm. their practice.
Well, both my mother and father, parents came from Japan, so they were considered Issei generation, so first generation. My parents were Nisei. During the war, my mother's family, she grew up in California. She was sent to internment camp in Arkansas. My father's family was from Colorado, Denver, and they had moved from Colorado to California, but when the evacuation notice came and the family tried their best to get back to Colorado so they wouldn't have to go into the internment camp. But my father had been in the service, and then he was older, so he got out of the service. But then after Pearl Harbor, he got recalled into the service. And then he was sent to Fort Snelling here. And he there was a military intelligence language school that was here, and he wasn't in the language school till later in his career, but he was working at a medic in Fort Snelling, and he was on leave one time, and he had lots of friends that were in Arkansas, because there are a lot of Stockton people. He had lived in Stockton, so he went to Arkansas to visit friends in the internment camp when he was on leave from the service, and met my mother and convinced her. She knew that she had to get out of camp in order to and find a job so that she could get her mother and her sister out. And she was on her way to Chicago, but I don't know, my father convinced her to come to St. Paul, and she said she had no idea where Minnesota even was. She decided to come to Minnesota, and they got married and stayed here. And Dad said he never wanted to go back to California after the cruelly retreated during the war. So he raised our family here in Minnesota. We grew up in St. Louis Park. This is my sister, Toyo. But we grew up in St. Louis Park, and we remained here. So, but faithful, you know, both families were, both my grandparents were, you know, strong devotion followers, and remained with them through their life. And, you know, as people settled here in Minnesota, you know, there was a community because of the language school. And so they started, you know, my father and some others started a Buddhist temple here. And it was over 77 years. Mm-hmm. It's been in existence. But we never had our own building, or we didn't have a resident minister, but we just somehow have survived with, you know, the support of Sangha.
Thank you. Go ahead. I think we do have to wrap up here.
I just want to build on your comments earlier about gratitude. On behalf of the Twin Cities Buddhist Sangha, we are grateful to Toyo and Gail's parents. We wouldn't be sitting here today had it not been for their vision and their determination to establish a sangha.
Thank you. Thank you. And I think we should wrap up, yeah? So I'd just like to say thank you so much to everyone here and to the folks who are visiting, and everybody. And I'll turn it over to the Doan, and then we'll end with the four vows, yeah?
That sounds good.
Okay, thank you.